God in creation is a wonder to me. You know, when we see the planet we live on, the animals that are on this earth, the plants, everything, how he's created it, brought it together, it makes my heart jump with joy because we come to such a creative God. And it's something that Job recognized. Because Job said in Job 12:7, "But now ask the beasts and they will teach you, and the birds of the air and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" This is the God who resides inside of us. You know, we see not only God's power move through nature, but we see his character and we see his nature in nature. Now, there are two animals, Andy has a dear to one this morning, that I admire. The first is a lion. See, lions speak to me of strength, of beauty, of fearfulness. They're majestic creatures. Can you imagine the Lego box that came in? Can you imagine the frustration if you were a piece missing? Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? But the second animal is the eagle. And you know, I've been looking at this for a while, and the more I've found out about eagles, the more they just inspire me. The freedom they have when they fly, the power that they possess. They are, again, such a majestic bird. You know, they talk of the lion being the king of the beasts. Well, they talk of the eagle being the king of the skies. And rightly so, as we will see. My brother was on holiday in India in January, and he was fortunate to go out on a boat trip. And early in the morning, he just saw this majestic bird flying over them, soaring over them. And he said to one of the guys who was on the boat, running the boat, he said, "What is that bird?" And he said, "Ah, Mr. Miller, that's a seagull." And my brother looked at him and he looked at the bird and he thought, "Well, I don't want to disrespect this guy, but I live by the seaside." He said, "What is that bird?" He said, "It's a seagull, Mr. Miller, it's a seagull." And he said, "Look, I'm no ornithologist." He said, "I'm no expert, but," he said, "I don't think that is a seagull." "Yes, yes, it's a seagull." Then he realized, because of his translation, he wasn't saying seagull, he was saying sea eagle. So there's a slight difference. But they are majestic birds. And just like the lion, the eagle is mentioned in the Bible quite a number of times. So this morning I want to use similes. Now what you say, what's a simile? Well, a simile uses the word like or as. So you swim like a fish. Doesn't mean you are a fish, just you swim like a fish. Or you're as strong as a bird, strong as a bear. So you're not a bear, but you're as strong as a bear. And as Andy said, a metaphor is an implied comparison. So when Shakespeare said the world is a stage, we know he doesn't mean the whole world is a stage. He's just doing that implied comparison. And I don't know if you know, but I want you to go away and listen to it. Last year, Lisa spoke on When Eagles Dare in June of July. But this morning, I want to talk about Where Eagles Dare. Now, just like Rob has gone up on the chase and taken those fantastic photos that we have around the centre, I happen to get up to the chase a few early mornings. So most of these pictures you're seeing are from the chase. And if you... No, you're right, forgive me, they're not. But I want to that's the stepping stones up the chase, that is, you didn't believe that, would you? But I'm going to take you through the life of an eagle from birth to death, and I'm going to show you the similes and metaphors, but more importantly I want to show you how God speaks to us through nature, through creation, and how he compares that to how we're to live our life. So where do you think we need to start with an eagle? at its birth. See, to grow up to be an eagle, you've got to be born an eagle. Now, this is really simplistic what I'm about to say, but actually it's a truth that we need to know. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to be born a Christian. You can't just come to church. You can't just come along and be part of a family. You've actually got to be reborn as a Christian. Jesus said, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Sorry, this was John saying this. "To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." That's such a simplistic thought. You know, the kind of life we inherit from our parents, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't give us eternal life. There is only one that can give us eternal life, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again, or else you cannot understand or enter the kingdom." We have to experience new birth. We have to receive salvation in order to experience what it is like to be born as a reborn Christian. It's not thrust upon us. We have to ask for it. So I'd encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, this morning, then you need to be reborn, reborn as a Christian. So eaglets, that's the baby eagles, are born. And the nest is an important part for an eagle. The location for an eagle's nest is very important. They don't build them low down. They don't build them on top of cliffs. They like to build them on the side of cliffs, but they like to build them high. And if they can't find a cliff to do that, they will find an extremely tall tree that they can build that nest with. They do that because they want to protect their young, but they also want to do it because they want to have a perspective, a view for those things that they're going to dive and feed eaglets with. So it gives them a good view of what's going on. It stops predators getting into their nest. Now here's the great thing about eagles. They don't use twigs. Then we're not talking about a little nest that a bird will make in a bush. Eagles will use branches, and they are very skilled at weaving them together. In fact, they make them that big that if they should fall off the side of a cliff, quite often they survive. The world record for a weighing in eagle's nest is 2 ton. So you can see that that isn't a small thing that they're building. And the great thing is, inside that nest, they use feathers, fur from animals that they've killed, leaves, to make it really comfortable for the eggs to be born and where they will hatch. So they've built the nest, the mother has the eggs, and then it's hatched and the mother will feed. But even that, what I've just described to you, doesn't go unnoticed. This is what God said to Job. "Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey. Its eyes observe from afar. Its young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there it is." So these eagles are born, these eaglets are born. And here's another amazing fact where you see God working in nature. The eagle, the mother eagle, will always feed the next eagle in line. It will never feed the same one twice. If it's got 4, it will go around each one of those feeding. It never misses. And you know, they've had people go down to the nests, scientists, and they've moved the eagles in the nest. And yet the mother will unerringly know which eagle needs feeding next. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't that such a beautiful scene from nature that we can take encouragement from? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They never toll nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Matthew 10 says that he knows the very hairs on our head. God pays attention to each one of us. He never gives more to one of us than the other. He does not forget about you. He knows you deeply. He knows you personally. He knows you in every way. He knows what your life is like. And likewise, we should know him. John 10 tells us that Jesus said, we should know his voice just like sheep know the voice of a shepherd. But for this to happen, we have to have a deep personal relationship. He is our source. He is our nourishment. He's not going to miss you out. That's a lie of the enemy. You know, the nest is such an important place. And in that nest, it can describe our spiritual lives. You know, at the outset, when we are born again, we need that nest experience because we need feeding, we need nurturing, we need looking after. But you know, as with the eagle, the nest is just not a place for feeding, it's a place for learning. It's a place for teaching. Because this is what the mother eagle does. One day when the eaglets are of a size that obviously she feels are right, the mother eagle will come back. But this time she doesn't carry food in her beak. This time she just hovers over the nest. And you think of an eagle's wingspan, but she's got the ability to hover like a hummingbird. And she'll hover just 3 foot above the nest. And you think, why is she doing that? Well, she's beginning to tell those eaglets, these things growing on your back have a purpose. They're going to do something. And for you to be an eagle, you need to use these things that are on your back. See, they are meant to fly. And that just doesn't happen. If you separated an eaglet at birth and put it with chickens, it would never fly. It would just scrap around the dirt. It would never learn to use those things that it has been given on its back. Mum is teaching them that these things have a purpose. Deuteronomy says this, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. You know, we have to learn, when we are reborn again, we have to learn how to be like Jesus. We have to be taught how to be like Jesus. Now, as leaders, we don't hover over you. We've been given something else. It's called the Holy Spirit. And he is there to be our helper, our comforter, and our guide. He enables us to interpret God's word. He will guide us in all truth. He will reveal to our hearts and minds the counsel of God and who he is, in worship, in doctrine, and in Christian living. He is our ultimate guide. We prayed this morning. He goes before us. He goes with us. So in order that we can be like Jesus Christ. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts. They're all given to us to enable us to be like Jesus Christ. We've been through that series in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. That should be the fruit of Jesus living in us. You know, if Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is not working in us and through us and out of us, we are like no other than just being an ordinary club of people that gather together. The difference in our lives is the Holy Spirit. So we, like the eagle, have to be taught. Now there comes a time when Mum stops hovering. And she actually starts pushing these eaglets towards the edge of the nest. She'll do it one by one. She'll push them closer and closer. And then she'll push them off. Now remember, that nest could be hundreds of feet above the ground. You would think safeguarding would be getting involved with this sort of thing, wouldn't you? So this poor eaglet is falling and falling and falling. And the mother is waiting and watching to see if it will engage these things that are on the back of it. If it does, all and well. If it doesn't, the mother will dive straight down. And it's been recorded that eagles dive can be as fast as 100 miles an hour. And it will swoop under the eaglet and catch it between its wings on its back. And it will take it back up to the nest and put it back safely in the nest. And we think, oh, that's great. Then it will edge it to the edge again. And it will push it off again. And it will continue to do that until it learns that actually these things, these wings, have a purpose. See, what the mother's teaching the eaglet is this. Out of something that is so fearful and bad, a new way of life is coming. It begins to learn what it's meant to be, an eagle. You know, Satan gets the blame for a lot of things in our life. And rightly so. But Peter says this in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Are you suffering at the moment? Are you going through trials? Well, Peter then says this. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter is saying that to exercise faith has more worth, is more precious than any gold. You know, sometimes we will go through trials, and in that testing, that faith turns us into something wonderful. It's just like the eaglet. At one point, it's hurtling to what it thinks is death, and suddenly it comes into the fullness of what it was meant to be, an eagle. Because it uses those wings on its back. I'm sure there's times when you've asked the Lord, why are you letting this happen in my life, Lord? Why are you letting this happen in my life, Lord? Well, I want to encourage you. They can be the times that he wants us to be like what we're meant to be, him. So these poor eaglets, they've been pushed out the nest. They've gone back to the nest. They've been pushed out again, the nest. You would think that would be enough, wouldn't you? But no, then the mother starts to pull the nest apart. So she breaks these huge branches that she's used with her beak, and she will actually stand some up so they're like spikes. And these poor eaglets must be thinking, this is not getting any easier. She will then start to remove key branches. She will throw bits of the nest over their side. And she's paying no attention to the concerns of her little ones. Because she knows they will never fly if they don't leave the nest. And to them little eaglets, it must seem like the end of the world. But in reality, it's just the beginning of their lives. And you can see that analogy, you can see that simile, you can see that metaphor in the Bible. You know, when things seemed at such the darkest point, the darkest and lowest place, when things seem to be falling apart, God uses that as a new beginning and a wonderful life. You take Joseph. How many times must he have thought he was at his lowest, that he was at his darkest, that he was falling apart? And yet, what actually happened in that for Joseph was the beginning of something wonderful later on. You know, sometimes God will pull apart areas in our life so that we realize that it's only him we need. He is our future. He has great plans for us. He is out to mature us. You know, spiritually speaking, we were created to fly as Christians. And God will stir up our nest, our world. You might not like what I'm about to say, but we were not created to be comfortable as Christians. We are always to be on the edge. We're always to be open to what he wants to do. We were created in the image of God and we were called to soar. We were called to fly. You know, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we simply don't know it. So there are times when God will push us out the nest. Yeah, maybe you can relate to this. Hey, Lord, what are you doing? I feel like I'm falling, like everything in my life is heading for a disaster. Surely you don't want me to fall, Lord. Or maybe, how could I possibly be responsible to help others and be responsible for my own actions? You don't want me to fly, Lord, do you? You don't want me to fly? Surely not. I can't do this. I would suspect we've all experienced at some stage in our lives, in our Christian lives. Maybe you're going through that now. I suspect you've been pushed out of the nest on a number of occasions. Perhaps you're feeling today like your life is falling apart. Again, we often give Satan credit where credit isn't due. But he is a predator. He is destructive. He is guilt producing. You know, Satan will always attack. I don't actually mind that when he attacks, because usually when he does that, he oversteps the mark and he's unreasonable, and we recognize who he is. And so we are able to deal with that. We pray with that. We're able to put that full armor of God. I believe his greatest weapon is not attacking, is questioning. You go back to Eve. He didn't attack Eve. He just questioned what she believed and what she had been told by God. And that is what he does with us. He is so subtle. He will question. You don't really believe what God says about that in the Bible, do you? You don't really believe what God says about me and about you in the Bible, do you? See, because if he can get doubt, if he can get that small seed of doubt into your mind, that seed will grow. Because then, if I'm doubting it, I'll start disbelieving it. And if I disbelieve it, I disobey it. And then Satan's got me exactly where he wants me. But in saying that, we should bear in mind that sometimes the trouble and pain that we're going through and experiencing is because God is after us. Now, he never causes trouble or pain, but he'll turn it and use it for his good. Because he's determined he wants you and me to be Christians that soar, not wallow and stay in the nest. So there are times when he will pull that nest apart. That nest that we've built around us. You know, when troubles come, when circumstances come, when pain comes, our human nature is that we want to build a nest. We want the comfort and protection of that nest. instead of exercising faith in the Spirit? Do you trust God? Do you genuinely trust God? Genuinely trust God? Do you believe what he says about you? Do you believe what he read about who he is? You know, some Christians don't genuinely trust God. They're fearful that God's going to ask them to do something that they can't do, or they've got to surrender. They're worried that something terrible is going to happen. And that's so not true. We go back to looking who he is, who he says he is, what he's done for each of us. But if we believe the lie, if we build our own nests, then our dependence moves from him. It is so easy to quickly to build our dependence on material things and natural resources. I want to tell you a truth that you probably know. The world will never make you happy. Not fully. It will never make you content or fulfilled like Jesus Christ can and does. See, and the danger is if we stop flying and soaring, if we stop feeding on his word, then we're more likely to abandon him. And we're more likely to think that he doesn't care for us. And that couldn't be further from the truth of who he is. He wants us to discover that under our lives are his wings and his everlasting arms. That we trust him for that. He wants us to learn that our security isn't in bank accounts, jobs, homes or possessions. It's definitely not in politicians. It's not in our health. Our trust is in him alone. You know, God did this to the Israelites. He took them out of Egypt and he brought them to Mount Sinai. And he said this, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So what he did was he kicked them out of Egypt. He kicked them out of that nest that was Egypt because he wanted them to fly, to soar into the promised land. Sadly, they refused. And they wandered for 40 years. That wasn't God's intention for the Israelites. Nor is it for us to wander. He wants to take us to the places he has promised and spoken to our lives. So we need to get out of that nest. And we need to try our wings. And here the eagle teaches us. Because this is what their master's at, soaring. It's not just about flying. We need to catch the wind of the Spirit so we have the strength to soar. Isaiah 40, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." To say an eagle flies isn't necessarily the right phrase to use. Yes, they will flap their wings on occasions. But they've been studied, eagles, and they will sit on a branch or a rock, and their body is taut, and they will wait, and they will wait, and they will wait. And what they're waiting for is they have this inner sense of when the right current of the wind comes for them to catch. And when that wind comes, because more often than not they're at height, they just let go. They spread their wings and they let go. You know, when storms come, most birds won't fly. Eagles love storms because the currents take them to places that normal winds can't. There's a story of Steve McQueen, the actor, and he was flying in a glider over the Rockies, and he caught a draft, and it took him up to 14 to 15,000 feet. That's quite a height. And he said when he looked out from his glider, he was completely surrounded by eagles who had, when they're soaring, they just lock their wings. And he said, it's like they were asleep, just soaring on the wind so effortlessly. Isn't that such a wonderful description of what God has in store for us? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. The Hebrew word for wind is ruach. That is the same word that's used for Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is called the ruach, the wind of God. Birds flap, eagles soar. I'll use the analogy of the chicken again. They might be very nice, coated in breadcrumbs, but the actual life of a chicken, it doesn't fly, it never reaches its potential in life. Well, unless KFC might have a thing about that, but it basically just flaps around the yard. If it gets upset, it can probably get about 6 inches off the ground. But their life is just flapping around in the dirt. You know, I'd like to suggest sometimes that's what we do. We flap. We flap like mad. You know what flapping does? It wears you out. And flapping is like the works that we do in the flesh. It's that thing we're doing on our own strength. It wears us out. And it's not what we're meant to be. You know, the chicken is also content with being ordinary. It lacks inspiration. And it spends most of its time just scratching around the yard. And again, if a storm arises, it's in the hut with everyone else. That's not the way of the eagle. And that's not the way of us as a Christian. These words, soar and spirit, are pointing to a different kind of life that we are to lead. If your life is mundane, get out of it. Soar with the Spirit. Yeah, but Richard, you don't know what my... I know what your life's like. My life is very similar to your life. There is a lot of dirt in it. There is a lot of troubles in it. There are a lot of circumstances I wish I could change. But what makes the difference is the Holy Spirit. You were not born to be a chicken. Thank God. You can go in KFC content. You were born to be as an eagle. You were born to soar. You were born to let go and soar on the way, on the wind of the Spirit. Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. Most assuredly, I say to you, oh, sorry, that was the chicken. Yes, I'll let you read that. And then there's more to life than crossing a road. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus never acted independently. He never acted separately. He only did what he saw the Father do. He only moved when the Father told him to move. That's what I should be doing as eagle Christians. We have to develop the sense and ability to sense the motion of the Holy Spirit. And we don't move until God says we move. We know what the opposite is. When we don't wait for him or rest in him, when we don't serve or we just work for him, that's hard work. It's hard work when we're doing things in our strength. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you go on a flight, if you take a full bottle of water, that bottle holds its shape. When you get to altitude and you're pressurized and that bottle's half empty, have you noticed it begins to get distorted? It begins to cave in. That's our spiritual lives. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. If we're not, the pressures of this world will cave us in. will bring back that doubt, disbelief, and then disobey. Then we disobey. We are to mimic the eagle. We are to soar on wings like eagles. The eagle's eyes. The eagle's eyes encourage us to develop eyes that are like the Father has. Job again. Does the eagle mount up at your command and make his nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey, its eyes observe from afar. You know, birds have great eyesight. Eagles have excellent, fantastic eyesight. They can see a lizard on a rock at 1,000 feet. That's some sight. They've actually, I think, got something like 3 eyelids. So when they're flying directly in the sun, because they're at a level where obviously there's no clouds, they can bring an inner lid down that reflects the glare from the sun. So it's almost like they've got inbuilt shades. Isn't God amazing? As a Christian, you have different eyesight. Don't believe what the enemy says. You have different eyesight. You see things that people do not see. You see dangers where others do not see. You see opportunities where only others see folly. You should see the presence of God where others see nothing. People will not understand you sometimes. They will not understand your decision. They will not understand your standards. When we were saying to people I worked with, I'm going to Kansas for the weekend, they thought I was absolutely nuts. In some respects, we were. But we were seeing differently to what they were seeing. They will not understand how you live your life. They will not see as you see. But this should be the challenge that we bring to society, to this world that we live in, and all that it believes is important. Because we see like God sees, we should be bringing what God sees to this world. You have the answer to this world, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's no political party is going to sort this. No government is going to sort this. The state of this world only can be sorted by Jesus Christ, and he wants you to have the eyes to see through that he is going to use you like he has used those in the past. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. You know, we've got to see how God sees things. And we might not see the outcome of that, but being men and women of faith, we believe that God will fulfill what he has promised. So we've done from the eagle's birth. Now we do to the eagle's death. And I've read that many bits on this bit because I don't want to tell you something that isn't true. But consistently, not everywhere I've read, this is what has been said. So I'm going to share it with you. And I want to believe it's true because I think God is the God of creation and how he works in nature. In fact, a lot of eagles don't die naturally. They are killed by whatever, pesticides, accidents. But ornithologists have noticed and noted that when they have witnessed an eagle die, it has this almost inner premonition that it's going to happen. So it will fly to a high rock and it will dig its talons into that rock. And it will always be facing where the sun is shining. And it waits, and it dies, and it will fall off that cliff. Perhaps you've been with a Christian when they've died. Perhaps you've seen both their strengths and their weaknesses, and yet no fear. Because their feet were firmly planted on the rock of Jesus Christ, looking straight at the Son of Righteousness. Death is a mystery, I don't know why some die in the prime of their life. I don't know why some die in such agony and despair. I can't explain that to you. But what I can say to you is, I know there's a better way to die. And God wants us to be able to look him in the face, to be confident that we're ready to meet our Maker whenever that is. Stephen, when he was stoned, it says this, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You know Jesus Christ today, you have nothing to fear in death. And just like that eagle, we should grip the rock called Jesus Christ. And we should look him fully to the sun, into his face, as he receives our spirit. There is nothing more wonderful than knowing that a Christian has made their way home. After all, that's what we were born to do ultimately, to go and spend eternity with him. But there are so many in this world that don't know that, who don't know him, who don't know where they're going when they die. And we have such an opportunity to share the truth of who Jesus Christ is, and for them to experience and live a life knowing that they're going to spend eternity with him. So we've looked at the birth, we've looked at the nest, we've looked at the flight, the eyes, and the death. So I'd just like you to close your eyes, because this is my prayer for you. My prayer is that you will remember that if you're ever going to become a Christian, you need to be born one. And I want you to know this morning and remind you, you're a Christian, you've been born again, and you can enter into the fullness of all of that. My prayer is that you will understand something about the ways of God in caring for you and rearing you, what he has done and what he is doing in your life, and that you will understand in these dark moments when you seem to be falling or your nest seems to be coming apart, your life seems to be coming apart, that God's only purpose for you is good. He does not cause these things to happen, but he will use them so that you can be what you are called to be, an eagle Christian that flies, that soars on the Spirit. I pray that you will understand how to move on the wings of the Spirit so that your efforts may last and you will not grow weary. I pray that you will be able to see as an eagle sees, not just discouragement, not just problems, but opportunities, that God will give you the opportunity to see his hand at work in this troubled world about us. And my prayer is for you that when it's time to die, I pray that he will grant to each one of us abundant entrance into his kingdom. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I felt as I was preparing that God wanted to minister to some. So maybe if you feel like this is the darkest place that you're at, the lowest place that you're at, perhaps you feel at this time that your life's falling apart. Well, God wants you to know that he will turn that and use that for something good and wonderful in your life. Perhaps you're tired and weary. You're all flapped out. You're flapped and you're flapped, and it's got you nowhere. And you say, well, I'm tired, Richard. I'm tired. Yeah, well, today's the day you can soar. Today's the day you can know the wings of the Father under your life, and you can know to catch that wind that will take you to places that you haven't been before. That you can soar on the Ruach wind of the Father. Maybe you're in a circumstance, and that circumstance is fact. I don't deny that. I know that circumstance is fact. But you put faith into that fact, and you will see that fact in a kingdom perspective. You leave faith out of facts, circumstances, you'll see a worldview of it. And I can only say it will bring you down, not build you up. So for some of you, you need to have faith in the circumstance you're in, because that will enable you to soar. You will see a kingdom perspective of not only what is going on, but even if you don't understand what's going on, to know that the Father is with you and he will carry you on the wings of eagles. Now, I don't think that's true here, but also, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, I mean that you have been reborn. I don't mean you just come to church. I mean that you have been reborn, that you've given your life to him. Then now's an opportunity to change your life forever. So I'm going to ask us just to all stand. And I'd like you to raise your hands, close your eyes. And I just want to say, Holy Spirit, will you catch? Will you move in us, amongst us, like the wind? Lord, will you come and enable us to soar this morning? And Lord, if there are any of those areas that you're speaking to for folks here, then I pray that you'll bring that to them now through heart and mind. Enable us to be Christians that soar with you, Father, that get your perspective, that don't work at this. Lord, that we can just catch your spirit and we go, and we'll have those God opportunities to bring your kingdom to a world that so desperately needs it. And Lord, if we've built our nests because we're just finding it tough to cope, and we've built that nest of dependence and comfort, then Lord, I give you permission in my life. But Lord, I want to ask for my brothers and sisters here, kick us out of that nest, Lord. That's not where we're meant to be. We're meant to be on the edge with you, Father, soaring with you, with a perspective that only you can give us. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you you're here. Just move amongst us now. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.